Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth. Retirement planning is more than just saving money. It's creating the life you've always dreamed of with financial freedom. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. Build a strong financial portfolio so you'll enjoy retirement and leave your family a strong financial legacy. Secure your financial freedom. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Well, the lesser Casey still refusing to concede. That's right. Bob Casey Jr. has put out a video. He's not conceding. They are milking this for every dime they can get out of this thing. And it's a disgrace because he's not going to win. But, you know, Democrats, election deniers, all of them. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zioli. It is a big Tuesday because tomorrow night is our Politics and Pints event with Jimmy Failla. Me and Jimmy on stage. Jimmy and I, whatever it is, grammatically, I don't care. On stage together, making you laugh at the Media Theater and Media PA. We start at 7:30, and it's going to be a blast. There are still some tickets left, so go to 1210WPHE.com to get yours before they are all gone. I've got some numbers for you on just how well President Trump performed in the city of Philadelphia, and it's a big deal. The city has shifted right. If you remember, election night, when he called into the show, and he was very nervous about Philadelphia, and I said, Mr. President, we got you. You are going to do very well in the city with working class voters and Latino voters. And I am proven correct as the analysis has come out. And it shows exactly that. So what I told the president the night he called the show was 100% factually accurate. And it's very important that the White House knows that at some point, because I want them to know that we didn't just lead him down a rabbit hole or waste his time or give him false hope. But no, the numbers bore out exactly the way that I thought that they would. But in terms of the state overall, the question I was asked this morning, I did Fox and Friends first this morning at 5:30 a.m. Man, it's an early time to get up, I'll tell you what. Because I got up at 3 to do makeup and hair, because it takes me 90 minutes, obviously, or 2.5 hours to, I'm not a math guy. But no, I got asked a question about, would Josh Shapiro have been a better pick? There's an exit poll, there was some story in the New York Post about how Shapiro, Governor PA, would have helped Kamala Harris do better or even possibly win, at least Pennsylvania. And I said, no, she still would not have won the state, although obviously we don't know what trajectory the race would have taken with Shapiro on the ticket. I mean, it's impossible to ever go back and think about something like that. There's too many variables are created. It's like a ripple in time. You know, it's when you wind up meeting your mother at the dance, like in Back to the Future, which, by the way, today's the day. Today's the day where Marty McFly goes back to the future, 1955, just so you know. I saw that today on Michael Pelka's Prep. I thought that was an interesting little tidbit for you. But you don't know what ripple in time would be changed by that. But I did say he probably would have helped her perform better in Pennsylvania, because the race between Casey and McCormick is obviously much closer than it was between Trump and Kamala Harris. However, I still think Trump would have beat her. But the race between McCormick and Casey is not going to change. McCormick's still going to win. But the Casey name has been a powerful name in this state and has occupied Democrat politics for 4 or 5 decades. And so they are going to continue to try to raise money off this. And that's what it is. And it's shameful. And tomorrow's the day that Dave McCormick is supposed to be in Washington to meet with his fellow incumbent or incoming senators. And that's supposed to happen. And by Bob Casey refusing to concede and Chuck Schumer saying he won't let Dave McCormick into the building until Casey concedes, we are hurting the state of Pennsylvania. We are hurting the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania by doing that, because Dave McCormick needs to get to work. He needs to start getting involved, meeting his colleagues. And we have a vote for the Senate Majority Leader. This is not 1789 anymore. The Majority Leader matters. And we have to make sure that Dave McCormick is in on that vote. What concerns me, and like I said this morning on Fox News, what concerns me is that I think they're trying to keep Dave McCormick out because they're worried that Dave McCormick might back Rick Santorum from Florida. Rick Scott from Florida, and not one of McConnell's acolytes. And that he and Schumer might be colluding here to keep McCormick out of the Senate. That worries me. It worries me a lot. But either way, this is all about money. That's what this is. It's what Casey's doing here. And he's not going to prevail. Because if he was going to prevail, it would have been Philadelphia. And those numbers are in, and he's not prevailing, and that's the end of that. But looking at Philadelphia and how well Philadelphia performed, and by the way, we're streaming live on YouTube. Just go to 1210 WPHD, our YouTube page. Looking at how well Trump did in the city of Philadelphia, you go, oof, wow, this is good. I mean, this is really, really good stuff here. Donald Trump overperformed in the city, not just the surrounding counties and not just the red part of PA, but within the city of Philadelphia. And they got this map in the Philadelphia Inquirer, and they broke it down. These Philadelphia voters went for Donald Trump in bigger numbers than ever before. Trump increased his standing in the city's white, working-class neighborhoods and improved with Latinos, as well as both middle- and working-class voters. That's right. He pushed Philadelphia to the right this year by increasing his vote totals across a range of demographic groups and improving his performance with working class voters, a shift that's been underway since his first run for president in 2016. Well, obviously, I mean, what have we been saying every day since the election? We've been saying that the Democrat Party abandoned the working class in favor of the woke faculty elites. And I'm not just saying that. Bernie Sanders has been out there saying that. A lot of Democrats have been saying that. But think about it. In 2016, you had a movement for Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, a populist uprising of the working class in this country who said, we're tired of the elites. They get all the special favors. You guys have been outsourcing jobs. You guys have been sending our money overseas. We're sick of it. We're tired of it. Bernie was doing really well. Trump was doing well. They tried to stop Trump. It didn't work. They stopped Bernie. And then they put in the establishment hack of Hillary Clinton, the pro-war establishment hack Hillary Clinton, and she lost to Donald Trump. Democrats extinguished their own populist movement. So the workers, the working class, the union guys, the union gals, they went to Trump. Not very hard to see. It's really not. It all goes back to that point in time. You go back to 2016. If you jump in the DeLorean today and you go back to 2016 and you see how that played out and how they literally stopped Bernie Sanders dead in his tracks. So the people that were backing him had nowhere to go. They weren't going for a warmonger like Hillary Clinton. They weren't going for somebody whose husband signed NAFTA and helped create this mass chaos of jobs going overseas, or I should say helped sign NAFTA, but was responsible for a lot of the trade deals in his administration that led to jobs going overseas. And they weren't backing her. It was the elites in the Democrat Party that did what they always did. They decided for the people, and they did the exact same thing in 2020. Stopping Bernie Sanders then, and they did the same thing in 2024. They were so worried that Bernie could still maybe light a fire among his people that they had to ensure that they would control the process all the way up until the end when they named Kamala Harris as the replacement for Biden at the convention, and she wound up losing because the Democrat Party is in shambles. It is a bunch of woke elite academics in the faculty lounge who come up with terms like Latinx that nobody who's Latin actually uses. It's white, overpaid, lefty professors who come up with terms like that. And Latino working class voters in Philadelphia are like, don't you call me Latinx, man. And I'm voting for Trump. But really, that's where it all began. You can trace it back to that. They extinguished their own populist movement. So a lot of these workers had nowhere else to go. They went to Trump. Trump was appealing to them in much the same way Bernie Sanders was. The deception is that he's not a socialist. Trump's a capitalist and Bernie Sanders is a socialist. But for a lot of the workers, it was about something more than that. It was about trying to fight to keep their jobs here against the corporations that were outsourcing them. And this is where Trump and Sanders were both speaking the same language, and also the same thing about no more endless wars. They have a lot in common, if you think about it, from a populist perspective. And obviously, a lot that they don't have in common, that goes without saying. So back to Philadelphia for a second here. According to an Inquirer analysis of precinct-level data, Trump increased his standing in the city's white working-class neighborhoods, winning more than 30% in precincts where white voters make up the majority of the electorate. He also improved in majority black precincts, and he improved in majority Latino precincts and with middle and working class voters. Even though Kamala Harris won Philadelphia, she got 78% of the vote. They needed that to be a whole lot higher in order for her to win the presidency. The inroads that Trump made in Philadelphia, similar to the growth he saw in urban areas across the country, helped him on his path to win Pennsylvania and the White House. His gains, coupled with slightly lower turnout in the city compared to 2020, meant Harris netted tens of thousands fewer votes in the city than Biden did 4 years ago. And that's also due to the fact that less dead people voted than they did 4 years ago. It's also a true fact. You know, the dead just were not around this time around. They just, the get out the vote operation for the dead this Halloween was lackluster at best. A lot of voters stayed home. They just said, I'm not voting for her. And I don't want to vote for Trump. I'm just not voting. I'm voting on the couch. And they did. But that's a vote for Trump. You know, if you are a Democrat and you don't come out to vote, or you're part of the Democrat coalition, and you don't show out to vote, that's a vote for Trump. Your not vote for Harris is a vote for Trump, because she needs all these votes in the city of Philadelphia. And if they weren't coming, and they weren't coming, that just helps Trump's column. And that's exactly how it played out. But looking at the shift in the city and looking at the red, and you look at, you know, places in the city of Philadelphia where you've got Port Richmond, the Northeast, you got South Philadelphia, you got working class neighborhoods. But then you see within pockets of Philadelphia where you've got black neighborhoods and Latino neighborhoods, and Trump doing great there. And then there's this little area of blue, and it's a tiny little area of blue right in Center City, Philadelphia. You know, right in Rittenhouse Square, where all the college educated white lefties live, and they pay a lot of money to live there. And I'm not knocking them, because they're beautiful. I mean, it's a great part of the city. Rittenhouse Square, that area, it's beautiful. But that's all they have left. It's just that chunk of the city. Otherwise, the city is red. Spread throughout the city of Philadelphia, there's red all over the place. I mean, there's real opportunities here for Republicans going forward, because the Democrat numbers have gone down and the Republican numbers have gone up. White voters make up Trump's base, but according to the Inquirer, he grew most with Latinos. Ballots that voters cast are private, so it's not possible to discern exactly how each candidate performed with specific types of voters, but we can ascertain how types of voters lean by examining how candidates performed in neighborhoods where a certain group makes up a majority of residents. Trump performed best in the city's majority white neighborhoods, winning nearly 30% of the vote in precincts where more than half the residents are white. By the way, those are white working class voters. He garnered more than 90,000 votes in majority white areas, which is nearly two-thirds of the vote total in the city, despite those areas making up only a third of all precincts. But you see, what the Inquirer doesn't understand is that these are the workers. These are the cops, the firemen, the union guys and gals that live in the city. These are not the people making over 100 grand, 200 grand a year living in Center City and Rittenhouse Square. No. These are middle-class white voters in the city of Philadelphia who went with Donald Trump. And he won 22% of the vote in majority Latino precincts. You know what he got in 2016? 6%. He gained 16 points between 2016 and 2024 as he's out there talking about the largest mass deportation in American history. Now, I know this is going to shock Joy Reid and Joe Scarborough, but to the Latino voters who are American citizens, they agree with Donald Trump on this. Joy Reid looks at Latinos as being no different from people that sneak into the border illegally into this country, which in my mind is one of the most racist things you can say. You got Latino voters who work for a living in this country, pay taxes, they're American citizens, they did it the right way, either coming here themselves or their parents came here, whatever. And then they don't like the crisis at the border that's going on, this wide open invasion of the southern border. So they say, well, I'm with Trump. And Joy Reid turns around and goes, these are your peeps. What are you doing? Like, these aren't my peeps. These are people who are coming into my country illegally. I've made this analogy to you before. But if a bunch of Italians started sneaking in over the border, I'm not going to suddenly go, well, let them in, because they're my ancestors. They're my people. I mean, it's racist to assume that I would suddenly want lawlessness and chaos because I share a heritage with them. But yet that's what the left keeps doing when they go out and lecture Latino voters. And they do. And you got white guys like Joe Scarborough lecturing Latino voters on their misogyny. Hey, what if it's not the fact that Latino voters are misogynistic, Joe Scarborough, you pretentious bastard? What if it's not that at all? What if they just like Trump's policies? What if they just like the fact that when he was president for 4 years, wages were better and they could afford the price of groceries? Crime was not out of control in the city of Philadelphia where they live and they work. And yeah, you know, the border was secure and there were no wars and they like all that stuff. What if it's not, they're not misogynistic a-holes. They're just people that like Trump's policies better. And can somebody please explain to me how it's okay for an elite white multimillionaire like Joe Scarborough to sit there on MSNBC next to his wife, who they clearly hate each other, him and Mika. I mean, oof, that is cold. The two of them on set together, that is cold. That temperature is cold, baby. That's like when you take out a roast from the freezer. You're like, oof, we got to let this sit out for a while. You know what I mean? We got this thaw. It could take a couple days. That's how cold that marriage is. Well, why is it okay for that guy to tell Latinos that they're misogynistic? I thought woke rules prevented such a thing, but I guess the rules are all gone now. Trump also improved in the city's majority black precincts, but his support in those areas was still far below the city average. But that's okay because he still increased 4 percentage points over 2016. And in 2016, he had great numbers too. And he increased those numbers in 2020 and then he increased them in 2024. In 2024, Trump performed better across racial groups compared to 4 years ago. He did better with Asians, Latinos, and blacks. He did better with white working class voters. He improved in areas where education levels are lower. Now, this is a key point. So remember, I've been saying for a while how the Democrat Party is the party of the faculty lounge and the coastal elites. People with advanced degrees are voting for Democrats. People without college degrees or just a basic college degree, a bachelor's degree, are voting Republican, voting for Trump. You get higher in the food chain of the degrees where you get your student loans paid off by the federal government, you tend to vote for Democrats. You also wind up living in a world of academia. And that bears out in the numbers here, too. And so the guy who's working for a living, he's got a business loan on his truck. And nobody's coming to bail this guy out. He owes, I don't know, 30 grand on his truck. You know, he blew a gasket, whatever it is. You know, I'm not a car guy, but I had to get a new truck. And he owes 30 grand on this thing. He hears that a bunch of people with master's degrees and PhDs who all live in Rittenhouse Square in Center City, Philadelphia, bunch of white elitist liberals are all getting their student loans paid off. They're making more money than him. They're getting their loans paid off. How do you think that guy feels as he's loading his truck in the morning to go spend the day busting his hump, working for a living? He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it at all. So that's why the working class people, it's not that they abandoned the Democrat Party. Bernie's correct. The Democrat Party abandoned them in favor of the elites. When they turned around and they said, I mean, really, when they turned around to working class people and said, all right, you got a mortgage? You got a business loan? What, are you still paying off your, an HVAC guy? You still paying off your truck? Well, screw you. Good luck. We're paying off the loans of someone who's got a master's degree in French literature, who's going to teach at a college in Philadelphia, get tenure, and never have to worry about losing their job. Good luck. The minute they did that, it was over. That was the final nail in the coffin for working class voters. I'm telling you. That was it. And then when they said that, let's defund the police. Remember that? Guess what a lot of cops are? They're working class voters. They're white. They're black. They're men. They're women. They're Latino. They're Asian. They're working class people. Why do you think all the cops, the firefighters, they were all with Trump and the Teamsters and all the union guys and gals? Because they're all working class people. And the elites in the union, the union leadership, they may not be with Trump, but who cares about those people? Because they don't actually work for a living. They go out there and negotiate contracts. They give speeches. They don't actually do the work. You know, the head of the IBEW, the head of the auto workers union, that guy, that Marxist whack job, Sean Fain, that guy's not building cars. What he spends every day doing is union business. He's not on the assembly line in Detroit. The guys who are, though, know that their jobs are threatened by the Green New Deal. So they're turning around and going, why am I going to support candidates who are going to make gas cars illegal knowing that it's going to hurt me and hurt my job? Same thing. And the union workers, the brothers and sisters all across the various unions, not the government unions, they have solidarity with each other. They get it and they see it. Like, Trump's with us. No, the government workers hate Trump. The government union workers particularly hate him. And if you look at the map, say Philadelphia versus the suburbs of Virginia, right outside of the swamp of D.C., you can see exactly what I'm talking about. Because if you're a bureaucrat, you're very worried today, and you should be worried. Because Trump's going to go in there and clean out the bureaucracy, I hope and pray. When you talk about what draining the swamp means, it means that. It means taking away the power from the bureaucrats and returning it to the power of the president and the people that the president appoints, who are confirmed by the Senate on behalf of the states and the people, respectively, to run the government, not unaccountable, unelected bureaucrats. That's what has to change. And these working class voters are sending a loud message in huge numbers all across the country. They're saying, we're tired of our money going overseas. We're tired of the endless wars. We're tired of you outsourcing our jobs. And for the love of God, can we not sign bombs that we're sending to Ukraine? I mean, are you kidding me? How do you think people felt watching Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, and Volodymyr Zelensky signing missiles that were headed to Ukraine? I mean, give me a freaking break, right? All right, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. We got a lot for you today. The big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, 856-786-2020 or VeneriaDental.com. In precincts where 40% of residents have a college degree, Trump improved by 10 percentage points compared with 2020. But in highly educated areas, he only gained 4 points. And this is the distinction. This is the distinction. People with higher level degrees are all the Democrats have left. And the working class people and even people on the lower end of the income scale are with Trump. And you know why? Because they want the American dream. They want the American dream. That's what it's about. They still believe in it. And they still believe somebody like him can help them achieve it. That's what these numbers in the city of Philadelphia show us. 855-839-1210. Your thoughts, your calls. Question for you. Should the lesser Casey concede? Or do you see any reason why he should keep going here? We'll be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth. Financial planning can be overwhelming, regardless of market conditions. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning and tax minimization strategies. Protect your family and future generations without sacrificing our shared principles of hard work and American independence. Take control of your financial future. Call me, Mike Veneria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Today is Tuesday, tomorrow is Wednesday, and tomorrow night we are live at the Theater and Media. That's right, the Media Theater, Media PA, me and Fela on stage together. Get over 2 million people watching the show Saturday night. It was fun. So join us tomorrow night live in person. We're going to be on stage. I don't believe there's a streaming component to this. I don't believe we're streaming it on YouTube. So you got to be there in person. Get your tickets at 1210WPHE.com. And I have a feeling that they will never let us back on stage after tomorrow night. It's my sense of it. It's going to be one and done. We're in and we cause chaos and mayhem, make you laugh for a couple hours, and then they literally ban us from ever going back in the theater again. So that's my sense of it. So you don't want to miss this because you'll have major FOMO if you do. All right. You'll be feeling like all the libs who are crying on social media. And by the way, Justine Bateman, just a national treasure. I had a crush on her when I was a kid watching Family Ties. Now the way she's coming out and trolling lefties who are melting down the snowflakes by critiquing their videos on social media with totally deadpan. What makes it work is that she is a filmmaker and she completely deadpan critiques their social media meltdown videos by talking about the lighting, the camera angle, the actor, because she knows these people are all faking it, basically. This is all fake. And it's great because it's delivered so deadpan, but seriously, that you can tell how angry somebody who made one of these hysterical meltdown videos must feel when she comments on it and says, you got too many shadows in the background, or your camera was shaky, and the actor's point of view was difficult to discern from the audience's perspective. I'm like, I'm not an actor, damn it. This is me really melting down. Like, I think you're acting. I don't believe it. By the way, the judge has delayed the ruling on Trump's felony conviction. Judge Mershon in New York. Not surprised by that, because obviously we would have a major constitutional crisis on our hands if the judge were to, say, send Donald Trump to prison. And that would be nuts. And that would be insane. You know what would go a long way towards healing America? I don't know if anybody else is throwing this out there. Why doesn't New York Governor Kathy Hochul pardon Donald Trump? Why doesn't she do that? I mean, I assume that the governor of New York has pardon powers. Matt DeSantis, do you know for a fact if the governor of New York State has the power of the pardon? I know he's got, when Cuomo was there, he had the power of groping people in the elevator, but does the governor of New York have the power of the pardon?
Yes.
Yes.
They can forgive a person for their felony or misdemeanor conviction.
So wouldn't that go a long way towards healing America, towards bridging the divide between left and right? Considering that when you look at the New York State, and you're the numbers guy, you look at New York State, got a lot of red in New York, huh? In the state, right?
Especially after the
what are you on, lithium today? Why are you so low energy? What's going on with you?
You just asked for an audio clip. It's like 7 minutes long.
Doesn't he sound like he's on medication, like he's been medicated for some sort of like bipolar manic depression or something?
Still has that that election hangover.
Is that what it is?
Oh, I'm still feeling it myself. I'm tired as can be.
Yeah, I've been tired too. Especially because I don't know if I mentioned this. I was on Fox and Friends this morning at 5:30 a.m. Did I bring that up? I don't know if I mentioned that.
I don't think you did.
Did I not mention that?
Nah.
I should probably mention I'll be on with Dana Perino tomorrow as well. I should probably mention that, too. DeSantis, you sound like you've been sedated at a mental hospital. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like you and Tim Walz's daughter were confined to a mental hospital, and you've both been sedated.
I feel fine today. This is like the first day in a while where I woke up and I wasn't feeling groggy.
It's so low energy, and there's like static in the background. It's like you're not even trying. You're still in your pajamas. You are, aren't you?
No, I have shorts and a t-shirt on.
Nobody wants to see that description. Nobody.
you asked what I was wearing, so I shared.
All you had to say was no. You don't have to describe your outfit.
A flat no. If I was listening and I heard a flat no, I'd be like, that man is definitely in his pajamas. If you don't provide detail, nobody will believe you.
Is that what we think? Is that the consensus?
I think so.
So look at the state of New York. There's a lot of red there. Why doesn't the governor, Kathy Hochul, to extend an olive branch to try to heal America, say, I am pardoning the president-elect of the United States of America so that America can move on and be done with this nonsense and he can get to the business of working for the American people? I think that would go a long way.
I think it would be a nice gesture, but I think that's bad for Kathy Hochul's business.
Oh, you think it hurts Kathy Hochul politically?
Yeah, because Democrats are never going to warm to Donald Trump, and if she's the person that pardons the Donald, then they're forever going to hold that over her head. She'll never, I mean, I don't think she's ever going to be president anyway, but I'm sure if you asked Kathy Hochul what the future held, she would say, if she was being honest, probably a presidential run.
But considering that people are looking for someone who can rise above partisan politics and heal America and be the olive branch, isn't this a moment for her to defy her own party and come out and do that? And then, yeah, they'll be mad at her now, but yeah, you know, they'll forget about it down the road.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to play well in a Democrat primary at any point. I agree with you. It would be nice, but I don't think she's going
to
do it.
All right, well, let's start a movement calling on Governor Kathy Hochul to pardon Donald Trump, because it's a state issue, and she has the power, and she can make all this go away, save the taxpayers money, because it's all going to go away anyway. And there's no way the president of the United States of America is going to wind up doing time in state jail. So she should just do it and be magnanimous, and she can get the Profile and Courage Award that they give out every year at the Kennedy Center. All right, 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in today. I got a lot of great stuff for you today. There is a battle going on within the Senate over who should become the majority leader of the Senate. You know, it's funny, a friend of mine made a comment about, well, if the Senate winds up going off the rails, J.D. Vance will just step in and take over as his role as Senate president and just run the show. And just like John Adams did. And I said to my friend, lots changed in 1789 in terms of the power of the vice presidency within the Senate. The Senate rules make the majority leader basically the powerhouse. And this is why this vote is so important. The Senate Majority Leader controls the show in the Senate, and that's a very, very important position. And the Vice President's role has largely been reduced to a ceremonial role or a tie-breaking role. That's really it. Rick Scott wants to be the Majority Leader. MAGA is backing Rick Scott. The other two people that are running are John Thune and John Cornyn from Texas. Thune is from one of the Dakotas. And by the way, Kristi Noem is expected to be named the Secretary of Homeland Security, which is bad for immigrant dogs everywhere, because she's going to personally shoot them to death if they cross the border. And she's already said that. She's going to be on the wall with a gun aiming at those little dogs trying to sneak over the Rio Grande. What? Taking kill shots. They had
accurate.
It coming. They're illegal immigrant dogs. Well, it's better than people eating them, damn it. She's going to be up on the wall herself, just aiming down, just being like, got one, got one, got one. They're bringing rabies. They're bringing ticks. Boom. You know what I mean? They're bringing fleas. Boom. Maybe not. But anyway, that's expected to happen. The other thing that's expected to happen is Marco Rubio is expected to be named Secretary of State. I can tell you there's a lot of concern about Marco Rubio as Secretary of State from the chatter that I've had from people sending me messages. But we do know, though, for a fact that Mike Huckabee has been named the ambassador to Israel. And I'll ask my buddy Jeff Bartos about that a little bit later when he joins the show. Jeff, of course, is very instrumental in President Trump's campaign, getting the Jewish vote out. Trump did very well with the Jewish vote across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And also, too, the issue of... Where was I going with that? I just got distracted by a text. Stop, not the dogs. No. It's just Kristi Noem just up there with a... Well, if it could be a dart gun. I'm not saying she has to kill him. She probably would kill him, though. She probably would swap out the dart gun for a... just, you know, pop those little... You know? I mean, they're illegal immigrant dogs, okay? Okay? It's not... You know, she's got to get it out of her system. She better do with that than her own... Or than a puppy in South Dakota. I'm just saying.
R.I.P. Cricket.
Right, exactly. So, you know, or fine, put it, she could shoot him a dart. This, Madam Secretary, it's just a sleeping dart, and then they can, Border Patrol can, you know, bring the dogs back to where they came, all right? And while she's at it, maybe she can shoot some of the people with the darts who are trying to cross the border illegally. I'm just with the dart, just to put them to sleep, you know, like an old school. I'm kidding, kind of. Electric fence and alligators is still my preferred method of dealing with all this. Here's Senator Rick Scott talking about what he will do, Trump's agenda, cut number three.
I'm very optimistic. I believe I'm going to win. You know, Thune and Cornyn are friends. Here's what I bring to the table. I clearly believe in the Trump agenda, number one. I'm a business guy that has success doing exactly what we need to do in the Senate. We need to have a plan. We need to work a plan. We need to have a team. We need to measure ourselves. If we want to get all the nominees done, we've got to figure out a plan to get it done. If we want to get a balanced budget, we got to start today to get a balanced budget. If we want to get the border secure, if we want to get whatever policies we have to get through Congress, we have to have a plan, just like what you do in business. I ran a company with 285,000 employees. We had a written plan for everything to get it done. My colleagues have told me they want change. They want to be treated as equal. They want to be part of a team. They want to have an agenda. They want to have a great relationship with the House. They know I have a great relationship with Speaker Mike Johnson. Very optimistic that I'm going to win because I'm representing Trump's agenda and what my colleagues want.
Now, here's the whip count that's going around. And you have to realize that there are two factors at play here. And the Senate is the most exclusive club in the world. It really is. You have a 6-year term. You raise a ton of cash. And for the most part, you don't have to worry about anything. There's no way you're going to get redistricted out. You got 6 years for people to forget whatever you've done wrong. I mean, that's a long time. And this is why Casey has been able to survive as long as he has, because he literally goes to sleep for 6 years. He goes into an oxygen chamber and then emerges every 6 years and then runs for re-election and then goes back into his hibernation chamber. That's how Bob Casey Jr. has managed to survive 18 years as a U.S. senator. But now it's coming to an end. The lesser Casey needs to concede so that Dave McCormick can go tomorrow and vote for the Senate Majority Leader. Here's my concern. I think what's happening here is that McCormick would probably go with Rick Scott because it's who Trump wants. And I think that between McConnell and Schumer, they want Casey to not concede so that McCormick doesn't have the ability to vote for the Senate Majority Leader and represent Pennsylvania in that fight. The whip count right now that got leaked, John Cornyn has 18 votes, Thune has 24 votes, and Scott has 11 votes. But here are the people that are backing. And I always say in life, it's you got to really judge people by the company, the character of the company you keep. It's one of my favorite lines in life, one of my Zioli axioms. Mike Lee, Rand Paul, J.D. Vance, Tommy Tuberville, all backing Rick Scott. Ted Cruz is backing Thune, from what I understand, if I'm not mistaken about that, which makes no sense to me whatsoever. And Marco Rubio is also backing Rick Scott as well, which makes sense. It's this senator from his state, so that makes sense as well. Now, that's a key message that's being sent with J.D. Vance voting for Rick Scott. That's essentially now that's the president's way of saying that he wants Rick Scott in there without running the risk of, and here's the political calculation you have to make, if he comes out now, as before he's even president, and says, I want this to happen, it doesn't happen. Does that put him in a position of weakness before he's even inaugurated? So why Susie Wiles is trying to protect this and make this happen behind the scenes. I think McCormick would be a vote for Rick Scott. I really do. And I think that what you're seeing here with Casey and his refusal to step aside right now to concede, I think is that as well. Polymarket, the money is on. Who's it on, Justin? You check Polymarket?
Yeah, I was just looking at Polymarket. So early on, you know, it was John Thune was the favorite. Then from the 10th until about the last 12 hours, Rick Scott was the overwhelming majority favorite, about 65%. But in the last 12 hours, almost looking like a ballot dump in the Rust Belt in 2020, a sharp switch, John Thune retook the lead, 60%. Right now, it's currently sitting at 56% chance for John Thune to be betting odds for Senate Majority Leader. Rick Scott, 31% chance. Then you've got John Cornyn, 14%, and Steve Daines, 1%.
Interesting. Well, Polymarket's been right about pretty much everything. So the Polymarket odds are something I would definitely pay attention to, no doubt about that. This is a fluid situation. But it's interesting that Rick Scott is actively out there campaigning. The one thing about senators, though, is they think that they are above everything. Oh, you're saying McCormick is marked for Cornyn, Matt? You're saying, did he come out publicly and say that?
No, this is according to the leak. That internal whip account, you know, obviously leaked last night. McCormick was on it, and he was supposedly a Cornyn vote.
Can you ask Nate accurate. If they have publicly said who they're backing?
Yeah, I can shoot him a text.
All right, shoot him a text. Thank you, as press secretary. I just want to know before I say something out of line if he has publicly made a statement on that or not. The senators don't care because they have 6 years to not worry about anything, so they're going to do whatever they want. And this is the tricky situation that the White House has to navigate here, because they don't want another Mitch McConnell situation, and they want somebody who's going to be favorable to the president's agenda. But at the same time, they don't want to put Trump in a position where he backs somebody who loses, because that would be politically disastrous at this point when he's riding so high. So it's a balancing act that's happening. And by the way, you're going to see this balancing act happen in the House, too, because with the elevation of Elise Stefanik to become the UN ambassador, that means that now you've got the conference leader, the Republican leader, that position's open. And there might be some other positions in leadership that open up as well. So there's going to be a lot of these internal political games. And I know this sounds a lot like inside baseball, but it really does matter in the sense of if you're advising Trump at this point, you want to make sure his people get in there. You also don't want the guy to go out on a limb too far for somebody who may not get there, because that may look bad. That's the game that's being played in Washington right now. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli, if you'd like to weigh in. You know, the one thing, though, I do know is that Donald Trump has a plan to tackle censorship, and I love it. It makes me very, very happy. He's going after censorship. He's got a plan for freedom of speech. You know how much I love freedom of speech. You know, I love the fact that X, formerly Twitter, is a site where you can say whatever you want. There's all these platforms now emerging where you can post videos and you can say your mind, speak your piece. But there's also online a lot of hackers and scammers and trolls out there and people that are trying to steal your data and sell your information. That's why whenever you're online, you got to have Privacy Pro from DuckDuckGo. It is essential in this day and age. Privacy Pro is your 3-in-1 privacy solution. You're going to get the VPN, right? So the VPN is great. Never leave home without it. And use it at home as well. It protects your data. It's encrypted even from your internet service provider. They won't know what you're looking at. I don't want anyone knowing what I'm doing online. It's none of their business. And I don't want to be tracked. I don't want to be sold things. And I don't want anyone getting my data. That's what a VPN does. But it doesn't stop there. You get the VPN. You get personal data removal. Your email address, your phone number, your home address, all that stuff that's out there on the internet, DuckDuckGo gets rid of it for you. And personal theft, identity theft restoration if your identity is ever stolen. All that for $10 a month. Literally $9.99 a month, and you get a 7-day free trial when you go to duckduckgo.com/1210. And it's so easy to set up on your phone, your laptop. I use it at home. I use it on the road. It's essential. I will not go out without it in this day and age. There are so many people out there trying to steal your data. You need it. And for $10 a month, it's basically an insurance policy. And we'll also help you when you're browsing, too, because you're going to get a lot less the annoying pop-up ads and all the other nonsense that just makes being online annoying. That goes away, too. DuckDuckGo.com/1210. DuckDuckGo.com/1210. Sign up today.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We got the Trump dance on video. The NFL player's doing it. Oh, son of a... We have an abbreviated show tonight because of college basketball. Oh, it's terrible. What time are we off the air, Justin?
We are off the air at 6:29:46.
That is outrageous that we're done a half hour early tonight. I am so not happy about this. That's ridiculous.
How will we ever cope about losing half an hour?
How are we going to cope, right? Exactly. I mean, I don't know about you, Justin. I don't know if I can go forward with the show today. I think I'm...
We just leave in protest. We just have DeSantis whip up a best of, and we just... I think we just go home.
We just go home.
Exactly.
You bumping me? You bumping me? No, you don't bump me. I bump you. All right? You don't bump me. I bump you. We need more basketball in our lives, by the way, not less. I'm just throwing that out there.
Where's Temple when you need him?
Well, I guess we're not. I guess we don't have him anymore. That's a freaking shame. The apparently now, according to rumors, Trump is said to have privately conceded that Rick Scott is unpopular with his colleagues, has little chance of succeeding. So now the idea is to torpedo John Thune and go with John Cornyn of Texas is what the rumor, the machinations. Well, on the House side, I can tell you that my buddy Kat Kamick, who is a friend of the show, who's been on the show multiple times, who was in Pennsylvania on the bus for Donald Trump, who's been on Fox News Saturday night with me and Jimmy Fallon. She's great. She is running for conference chair. That is the position. It's the fourth highest position in leadership on the Republican side of the House. That is the position that Elise Stefanik holds right now. And she will be giving that up, obviously, to go serve in the administration as the ambassador to the United Nations. Kat Kamick has already announced that she's running for that. But there are several other people running as well. That's where things are. Rick is in Feasterville. Rick, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, pal? I've been listening to you for a long time.
Well, you're a good man.
I didn't get a chance to shake your hand, but I did meet Matt Whitaker and some other people in Fort Washington. You were the first speaker at a class there, and you said, I got to get out of here because I got to get down to South Jersey. And you were like an eagle with a burning tail. you flew out of there.
Well, they wouldn't let me stay. That's the truth. They wouldn't let me stay because the training for the poll watchers, which you were doing, and thank you for doing that, I was not allowed to be in the room for that. So I had to get out.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well,
that's the truth.
Yes, I did. I normally worked in Jersey where we made a lot of money, okay? I worked in Pennsylvania for nothing. But like I told Dom, I was in from 66 to 73. Luckily, my unit didn't get called up. A lot of my friends died. They didn't die for a country like this. You and I have a lot in common. One of these days when I'm down, in fact, I'm headed down the shore now, but I know you're not going down because I heard you're going to be on TV again tomorrow morning. But yeah, we got to get together for coffee sometime because we got a lot in common. And I just hope that the Republicans pull their head out of their butt this time around and work together and make America great again, because that's what we need for my kids, my grandkids, and my great-grandkids.
Well said, my friend.
And I know that you, you know, you and I have a lot. We think a lot alike. I can joke with people. You know, I tell Polish jokes and German jokes and Italian jokes and Catholic jokes. And sometimes you can't do it. But, you know, if you can laugh with each other instead of at each other and not throw bricks at each other and shake hands when you leave and leave people smiling, things are great. And I just told your buddy, I'm headed down to Feasterville where I grew up, and I'm going to McDonald's. That's my next stop.
Excellent.
And I understand that. And I understand that guy's having a hard time down there. From my friends that live down there, they were throwing food around and carrying on like a bunch of ridiculous animals. And I think when we start shipping these people out, they will be able to put some on the bus with them too.
Rick, thanks for the call, buddy. I got to run. Thanks for your service too. God bless you. I appreciate it very much. 855-839-1210. Look, you know, the issue of woke that he brings up about being able to make jokes and not walk on eggshells, I want to get into this a little bit further in detail. Couple things to note. Trump on the federal level is going to go after wokeness in schools, wokeness in the Pentagon, and woke in general is coming under fire all over because we have been literally walking on eggshells for the last 4 years now, afraid of everything, afraid of saying everything. And this has blown up in Democrats' faces, too. The two issues are the Democrat Party being elites and faculty elites who they write the rules for woke. And that transcends into the classroom and it makes life a living hell for all of us. So I'm going to get into woke with you in further detail in the next hour. But as we continue along the show, I also got to let you know that the troll under the bridge, Randy Weingarten, who runs America's largest teachers union, literally started crying as she was voting for Kamala Harris. So she's going to be crying a lot more now that Kamala Harris left. Relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. You hear me say that a lot. It's a guiding principle on how Judith and her team run their business. They build great relationships by providing a luxury Volvo buying experience and always doing what is right and making sure you drive away completely satisfied with the best deal available. And the result is that so many of their customers, like me, become customers for life. Cherry Hill Volvo has customers who've been with them for as long as 30 years. That's an incredible testament to the high level of service and value they provide. And it's a great month to get a luxurious Volvo from Cherry Hill Volvo. You'll be thankful you did. There are so many fabulous offers to take advantage of, including you can lease an all-wheel drive XC90. That's the third row SUV for as low as $687 a month using all applicable rebates. Costco members save even more, up to $2,000 in savings and additional rebates. Just see store for details. Just head to the store and talk to Judith and her team, and you will understand exactly why it is such a great place to do business. They never pressure you, and they have a wonderful bunch of Volvos in stock. New Volvos, certified pre-owned, lease. The S-Class made it their plant in South Carolina. Either way, Judith will take great care of you, and we broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, because in this age of cancel culture, which hopefully is going away, she stands with us as our studio sponsor. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth. Retirement planning is more than just saving money. It's creating the life you've always dreamed of with financial freedom. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. Build a strong financial portfolio so you'll enjoy retirement and leave your family a strong financial legacy. Secure your financial freedom. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.